Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, this is Erica Ramirez, senior editor at Billboard / editor of The Juice. Welcome to the first episode of The Juice podcast. Here with me, I have Andrew Hamp, our senior correspondent, who knows pretty much everything about brands and today also everything about Mariah Carey.
What up, Erica?
Hi, Hamp. So before we get into Mariah, I wanted to share something special. So this past weekend, I flew out to LA to listen to some new J-Lo music from her 8th studio album, and I also got a chance to talk to her. So there were a few songs that kind of stood out. One was this song called Big Booty, which Diplo produced, Chris Brown wrote, and of course features Pitbull. And
I like that you say, of course.
I mean, come on. It's J-Lo and Pitbull have such chemistry. It's like no surprise that they make pretty awesome songs.
It's just hilarious to me that it took her 8 albums to make a song called Big Booty.
So she did say that she was a little hesitant. but listen, it's pretty addictive to the point where like women or men that do not have such assets still can relate, i.e. me. She mentioned that the reason she kept the song or went with the song is because her kids listened to it in the car and started singing along to it.
Oh, that's
so
amazing.
She said that she had to keep it after that. But that was definitely a good choice for her. Also, another song, her second single, First Love, which was produced and written by Max Martin, is pretty awesome. J-Lo talked to me about the song also right after the session. And here is a little bit of what she had to say about the song.
I just want to work with Max Martin, and we were in the room with his writer's spot, and we didn't get his last name, but him and Corey, my executive producer for the album, who I worked with since my very first album, and everybody's sitting there kind of talking about relationships, you know what I mean, and, you know, what they're like, and how hard work they are, because some of those guys are married already, and stuff like that, and, you know, how it would have been so much simpler.
The one you're with
if
right
the
now.
One that you kind of like was the first one, and then everything else would have been. And it's still kind of like just that feeling. It was just such a simple kind of thing. Those are the best songs for me. The songs that capture an emotion in just like a couple of words.
Now you can check out the full version of the song and the interview on Billboard.com. And seeing that this is the first, she titled the song First Love, I went ahead and was cheesy and asked her about her memorable firsts.
Aww.
Yes. We talked a little bit about that. And she, of course, had to ask about Selena because everyone knows how obsessed I am about Selena.
That's true.
So we talked about Selena. We also did talk about her being a fly girl in Living Color. Cannot get her get away without asking that question. So all of that is on Billboard.com, The Juice. And, you know, I'm pretty obsessed with I Love You, Poppy, her first single. Right? Okay, that's good.
Absolutely.
Jason Lipschitz, our pop editor / associate editor, is also obsessed with the song. So tell me, Hampy, why do you love the song?
Because it's J-Lo finally having fun on a track. I don't think we've heard her have fun literally since the J-Lo album to me. Like when she did the remixes with Ja Rule, like that kind of stuff. Like I think it's her cutting loose.
Right. Yeah, I also... personally believe that she literally calls her boo Poppy and says that to him.
Like, totally.
It feels very natural for her.
Yes.
Which goes with what you said, that it feels like she's just having fun. She's just kind of letting loose. And that also goes with a lot of the songs that she played for us in LA this past weekend. As you could tell, she just kind of let go, just had fun with it. I mean, like, come on. The title's called Big Booty and it's like perfect.
Yeah.
Produced by Diplo. I can't wait for people to listen to that one. And just First Love, it just has her talking about, you know, the relationship that she's in now and how it feels, how she kind of wishes that she would have skipped a few before and
a marriage or two
and went straight to this one. So I think it's pretty awesome to hear J-Lo just kind of be comfortable in her skin and with whatever is going on in her life. Now another another superstar that we both love, Mariah. Mariah Carey, you talked to her for this past issue of Billboard. Tell me how it was talking to Mariah.
First of all, it was a dream come true as a as a lifelong Lamb, member of the Lamley. And I made that known to Mariah at one point because she loves her Lambs, and it's very clear from talking to her that this album that's about to come out is for her fans. It's definitely like this is something where it's pretty clear that she doesn't care as much about her chart presence right now. I think she really just wants to give the fans what they're looking for from her. So, yeah. So halfway through the interview, I self-identified as a Lamb. And she takes that very seriously, though, because she then started grilling me throughout the interview, both directly and indirectly, on just how much of a fan I was. Because she likes to play Name That Tune with her own songs, with her friends and her fans. So there was a moment where she slipped a reference to, do you remember her song The Roof from Butterfly?
Yes.
She slipped a reference to that song into one of her answers because she was like, oh, well, what kind of lamb are you? Like, are you an up-tempo lamb? Are you a ballad lamb? Like, which era do you love?
Wow.
And I was like, music box. at one point she's like, I don't want this album to feel like I'm reliving the splendor of my previous days. I was like, name that tune, Lamley. I was like, I don't know.
Did you get nervous?
Yeah. She put me on the spot.
Right.
Then I called her on a Dreamlover reference because she said I needed something uplifting. I was like, I got it.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
So did you make her, like, make known that you knew exactly what song she was talking about when she made references?
Yes. Okay.
Because you were definitely being grilled throughout the entire time.
Oh, absolutely. Because, well, the reason she asked, because she was trying to describe how there's a lot of introspective ballads apparently on this record, and she was referencing a song called Looking In from Daydream. Mm-hmm. And I kept saying, oh, I know, yeah. And she's like, well, you say you I know, but what does that mean? And I was like, well, I'm a lamb. I know your music. So then, yeah.
And she made you raise your right hand. And
exactly. Which immediately turned into a diva finger and was waved furiously.
Oh, my gosh. I wish it was footage of that. That also makes sense because I feel like she's been trying to please both her, you know, fans from day one to her new fans. So I assume, did she talk about how hard that was to kind of give fans old and new?
Yes. It definitely seems like this is the most perfectionist streak she's allowed herself to get into. I think she'll admit that she was more deadline-oriented in the 90s. And for this one, I think she really wants everything to sound right. Like, she's taken her time. We know that there's been a lot of release dates over the last 18 months. But I think that she just wants to get every note right, this one out. So, but it's going to – from what – she told me it sounds like it's going to be very modern, as much as it is like a kind of a throwback to her heyday because, you know, like Wale did a verse on a song, Nas is on a song, Mike Will did a track, Hit Boy did three, I believe. Even the songs with Jermaine, she said, are definitely more a modern feel to them. So.
Right. Speaking of Jermaine, my head goes straight to Usher. I don't know if you heard Usher released a sneak peek of his new song, Good Kisser.
Yes.
Listen, the minute I even heard the song title, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So he's releasing the song May 5th. What, are you excited for Usher music?
I am. Especially because I hope that this next Usher album cycle allows him to retroactively take credit for how good Looking for Myself the album was. Because I love that album.
Right?
Yeah.
It was, I don't know what it was. I feel like it was underrated. There were so many songs in there that could have gotten a little bit of a stronger push.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is more, I feel like a lot of people are wondering if this is more R&B flavored.
I think, that was the marketing challenge with the last one, right? Is that it was pop, it was EDM, there were two Swedish House tracks. It wasn't as easily formattable as his music has been in the past.
Right.
So that's always a challenge when you're trying to branch out and widen your audience. So. From what, the snippet that he dropped today definitely sounds like it's more core R&B.
Right. I know that a lot of fans were voicing that, especially, you know, a month or two.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Oh, when it was a 10-year anniversary of Confessions.
That's right.
As if, like, are we getting a second Confessions? And when I talked to a few people that worked on the album, you know, they all voiced how you can't really make a second Confessions.
Right.
Because then it's a little too hard to live up to that.
Exactly. And I feel like when artists do try to do sequels to their work and call it out, like, it's never as good. Like, when Mary J. did My Life Too, like, you know, just saying.
You could totally set yourself up for disappointment.
Yes.
You just leave a classic a classic.
Yeah. You can still thematically call back to it, but as soon as you put a label on it, that's too much pressure.
Right. No, I totally agree with you. Yeah. I wanted to also talk to you about Rita Ora.
Yeah.
Because we both went to see Rita Ora perform at the Box. I didn't expect her to perform some new songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved every single one that she performed.
Me too.
They're a little bit more, I mean, not a little bit more. I feel like it goes with the first album. It's like dance pop with a little bit of R&B in there, which, you know, we were known for Rita Ora to do. And she's in such a, like, happier place and in love. Mm-hmm. And I love that you could hear that in, like, the songs, whether it be what she's saying, but also, like, the production.
And this is the thing with Rita Ora, too, is that people are ready for her to be a pop star, especially a pop star in the U.S., because someone said, because, you know, it was wall to wall in that room.
Yes.
Like, someone said, I haven't seen the Box this packed since Adele previewed 21 in 2011. Like,
oh,
that's a big ass deal.
Yeah.
So people are ready because, you know, the first album didn't happen here. Yeah. She had a moderate hit with How We Do.
Yeah.
But the Calvin Harris single, people are really ready for that to win. I'm hearing she's going to have a good sync off of it. So there's going to be a lot of
I'm obsessed
exciting
with
stuff.
That song.
Yeah, me too.
I love the Whitney Houston flavor in there.
Yep.
She mentioned that that's what she was going for, and that's exactly what I got. And
yep.
It clearly works for her.
Mm-hmm.
I have played that song every day on Spotify. And, but yeah, like, there was one song that she performed, a ballad, which I haven't heard her really perform even a ballad before.
Nope.
So that was crazy for me to hear because I've been wanting her to really just show off those vocals.
Yeah.
And I finally heard it and I can't wait for people to hear that.
And I hope there was a moment. Can we curse on the podcast?
It's the juice.
Well, so because there was that moment, right, when she was like nailing the last chorus and she was like, yeah, I'm fucking way or whatever it was. I was like, I hope that's in the actual song.
Yeah.
Because that's what you want from a Rita or a ballad, right, is you wanted her to inject a little bit of surprise sass.
Right.
So what if that was in the room, if that was just a spur of the moment thing, even better. But if that's on the song, that's awesome.
Can you talk in that accent all the time around the office, please?
Gladly.
I'm glad you said that. I also liked how at the end, before she closed the set, she mentioned how she wishes everyone will get drunk and kind of like work their way out of the venue drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how she just gave us like her personality.
Yeah.
It's just like, she's just like a cute girl that just wants to have fun and is making that type of music, which I am very excited for. It fits her. This is who she is.
Yes. And is committed to the music. I think obviously her image problem right now is that she's better known as like a model, as someone who's like at all the right places, but people don't know her music. So I think this is the opportunity to put some songs to the face.
Right. And again, that's why that ballad I think will do so awesome.
Yeah.
Cause you just finally get to hear like the stripped down Rita Ora.
That's true.
That I've been begging her publicist for. She's just like, it's coming. And now I get why she told me to chill, because it is coming.
So that song, so basically you A&R'd that song is what you're saying.
Yes. So if everyone is listening to that, when you hear that, you can thank me.
Yeah.
Because I pleaded for that type of a song. I do want to take a little bit of time to talk about what's going on the beef front line. I feel like there's a beef going on in rap. There's even R&B beefs going on at times.
R&B. so good.
So this week, earlier this week, DJ Khaled premiered a song on Hot 97 called They Don't Love You No More. And it features French Montana, Meek Mill, Rick Ross, and Jay-Z. And Jay's verse, of course, had people talking on the internet world because he gives a little bit of a jab that some are saying are directed to Drake. So I'm going to read you the line really quick. It says, haters want a ball. Let me tighten up my drawstring. Wrong sports boy. You know you soft as a lacrosse team. And so some are saying that it was directed at Drake, seeing that they've been going kind of back and forth playfully at one another. You know, Drake had that little comment about Jay out eating a fondue plate.
Oh, right.
During the Raptors and the Nets game, but that was like a week and a half ago. So I don't know about you. I really do think that this beef is just a playful thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
And it's funny because nowadays when a rapper calls someone out, it's more of a like a play move.
Yeah, like an I see you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that this is what it is. When it's funny because back then when you actually called someone out, it was really a shot. And nowadays it's more of like, you know, kind of a playful going back and forth. So I'm not sure. What do you think about the whole Drake and Jay back and forth?
On the one hand, it's kind of like Jay keeping him in check, right?
Right.
So, because Drake doesn't fire many shots in his records at all.
Right.
Like, definitely.
And I think, like I said, I think that when it's an actual shot, no names are mentioned.
Yeah.
Like he's very good at using subliminals and his words, as with like a lot of rappers. Like when Kendrick called people out on his control verse, it was more of like a kind of letting his competitors know that he's got an eye out.
Yeah. It was more to start a dialogue around it, right?
Right.
Instead of
like a cheap shot or something kind of. It wasn't anything malicious.
No. It was to wake people up though.
Right.
Because no one, it's not, we haven't had that moment since the 90s where people are calling themselves the best beyond Kanye.
Exactly.
So we needed someone to kind of claim the coastal turf, all of that.
Right. Which I feel like will not stop here.
Yeah.
For every podcast for The Juice, I'm going to spotlight a new artist, an artist who's got next. And I'm kicking it off with Kirby Lauren. I'm not sure if many people know about her, but she's a singer-songwriter. She signed to Roc Nation. And I first got put on with this project that is titled Risk It All. It got me all teary-eyed, but as everything kind of gets me. She co-wrote actually one of the songs on J-Lo's album called Let It Be Me, and she co-wrote it with Harmony Samuels. And it's pretty strong, and I could say, coincidentally, that's when you hear J-Lo's vocals kind of the best standout on the entire album is on this song. It's a really powerful ballad. And I got on the phone with Kirby, and this is what she had to say about the song and also a little bit of what she has coming up.
I actually met J-Lo in her house. Like, I got a random call from Jay. He was like, J-Lo wants to meet you. And I'm driving out to her house or whatever. I'm like super nervous because it's like J-Lo, like, come on. And I go there, and she was so open with me. I feel like it's like she really just kind of like poured her heart out and was telling me about the book that she's writing and her relationships and what she's been through and how she really knows what like love is and how she's in like a really like beautiful place. But I guess her being so personal like that really kind of helped me complete the whole story.
Now you can catch the full interview with Kirby on billboard.com, The Juice, of course. And that pretty much wraps the first episode of The Juice podcast. So come back next week where I'll be spilling some more juice. And feel free to hit me up on Twitter at @3Rica to tell me what you thought of today's podcast and what you think I should cover for the next one. I also want to shout out Hamp, who let us know that if you ever meet Mariah, you're definitely going to be grilled on what kind of lamb you are.
That's right.
Hope you ace that test. thank you so much, you guys, for listening. And I will talk to you guys next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.